I call to order the House Education Finance Committee. Good morning, everybody. Luckily, we didn't have too much snow today to get to work, but we're going to start the committee briefly with some introductions. Representative Kreisha, I understand you have some guests here you'd like to make note of.
I do have some guests. Is that what we're doing now?
Yep.
Ooh, thank goodness. So I have with me, I'm on a keyboard. So I have a couple of young men and dad, and who else is here from? And your mom, right? I'll make sure I get all this right. So this is Jack, Colin, and Connor. And they just wanted to say hi. They're here supporting their school and School Choice Week, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you can say hi to them, not me. I already know you.
Thank you, Representative Kreisha. We are going to also move on to Representative Edelson has some guests here today.
Hi, everyone. I just want to acknowledge thank you, Chair Joachim. Acknowledge I have an intern for a day program that I've been doing for the last 4 years. This is my fifth year. And if you guys just want to stand up really quick, these are all interns from Chair Joaquin's district and my district from Edina and actually Minnetonka High School that are here for the day to learn about the legislature.
Thank you. It's no more appropriate a committee for our young students to be in than education finance. So with that, members, we're going to carry on our work from yesterday. We will begin with Representative Jordan's House file. First, let's do the minutes. I'm being reminded of that. So, Representative Clardy, Vice Chair Clardy, have you had a chance to review the minutes?
Yes, I have.
And would you like to move the minutes?
I'd like to move them. So move.
Representative Clardy moves the minutes for January 24th, 2023. Are there any discussion on the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Minutes are adopted. All right, now we're working on. So we're going to bring back up the House File 5 that we had testimony and discussion on yesterday. And then now we have a fiscal note that you had a chance to look over yesterday when it got to us about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And we'll have an amendment to reflect that fiscal note as well. So I will move House File 5 before the committee. Representative Jordan, would you like to move to reconsider the DE3 amendment that was amended yesterday before the committee? Move it before us today.
So move, Madam Chair.
So thank you. We'll be referring House File 5 to the Ways and Means Committee today as well. So Representative Jordan moved the DE3 before us, and I understand you also have an A11. Would you like to move the A11 and then briefly explain it?
So move, Madam Chair. The A11 incorporates the fiscal note within the bill.
Thank you. And I believe Ms. Sylvia Beckles here to walk through the fiscal note. Please state your name for the record, or the spreadsheet, sorry. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Solveig Beckel, House Fiscal. I was going to briefly explain the fiscal note, and then I can explain the spreadsheet as well. So if you would turn your attention to the fiscal note. For the fiscal note, the agency made a few assumptions that included that schools with ISPs, that means identified student percentages at or above the determined federal percentage for the CEP or community eligibility provision. So ISPs under 62.5% would automatically qualify for free meals, and they made the assumption that schools at or above 62.5% would participate in CEP and the universal meal proposal. They also assumed that only actual meals accepted by students, not those declined by students, for example, would be used for the calculation of payment. They also used the average students served in fiscal years 2018 and 19, and then built in increases. And then they also made the assumption that the Medicaid direct certification would continue to be used, and they assumed that 47,700 students would be newly directly certified, with about half of those students being new to eating school meals and about half of those students assumed to be previously full-paid students. And so the amounts that they came to for costs for school lunch, subtracting out the federal payments for community eligibility. You can see those costs on the total combined lunch cost line on page 3. Same with breakfast. You can see those costs minus the community eligibility provision, federal contribution on the total combined breakfast costs in that same chart. And then MDE also made some assumptions about needing to improve or adjust their IT systems in order to implement this change. And you can see that they estimated they would need some IT work done at a cost of $90,200 in fiscal year 24. That's also on the chart on page 3. And then they assumed that they would need 2.3 FTEs. That would come in at a cost of $309,346 at the very bottom of page 3. And then finally, they said that they would need 1.5 FTEs ongoing. And so you can see those costs for fiscal years 25 through 27 at the cost of $202,000 per year. So then moving over to the spreadsheet, you can see the costs of the base for fiscal years 22 through 27. So we have the base costs, and then we add in the costs of the fiscal note in order to show you the full costs for the school lunch program and the school breakfast program, plus the free school meals program in House File 5, as well as the administrative costs. Please note that the decision was made to put the $400,000, that's the IT costs, plus the 2.3 full-time equivalent or FTEs for MDE administration in fiscal year 23, but allowing MDE to carry that over into fiscal year 24 to provide a few more months of additional prep time. And then the total cost of House File 5 for the 22-23 biennium, $400,000. For the fiscal years 24-25 biennium, $387,208,000. And for the fiscal year 26-27 biennium, $418,977,000. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Beckel. Representative Jordan, would you like to say anything about the A11 amendment before we go to member questions?
Not really, Madam Chair. This is the cost. This is pretty in line with what the governor announced this past week. It's also pretty similar to the fiscal note we saw for a similar bill, House File 1729 last year, that would do the same thing.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Kresha.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Jordan. Just two quick questions. As I look through this, and I appreciate having the fiscal note, and Madam Chair, now, do you break out in here, if I'm not finding or could you, dollars that would go to non-public schools? And thank you for including that, because I know for a long time we've talked about any dollars leaving the system going to non-public is defunding public schools. So it looks like we've crossed that barrier. And is there a line here for non-public schools, and how much would that be?
Ms. Beckel, do you have that answer?
Madam Chair, Representative Kresha, I'm afraid I do not have that answer, but I can work with the agency and we can probably find that answer for you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Kresha. Any other questions about the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Jordan renews her motion to adopt the A11 amendments. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. The A11 amendment is adopted. Now, members, we have, I believe, to adopt the DE3 amendment as well as amended. And Representative Jordan, would you like to move the adoption of the DE3 amendment?
So moved, Madam Chair.
As amended.
As amended.
Any questions on the DE3 amendment as amended? Because today I'm going to find out how many times I can say amendment and amend it. Seeing none, all those in favor of moving the DE3 amendment as amended, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The DE3 amendment is adopted as amended. Now, members, we have the House File 5 before us today, as amended with the DE3 and the amended amendments. And we want to check and see if we have any further questions about what we've been talking about. We took testimony yesterday, had some testimony and a lot of discussion and questions yesterday. But I want to give the opportunity for members if they have any further questions on House File 5 or comments. No one's had their coffee this morning. So, Representative Edelson.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, I couldn't quite see.
I'm hidden over here, Madam Chair. Representative Jordan, if you could just clarify. So if a student doesn't use the meal, that the district isn't charged. Is that correct?
Representative Jordan.
Madam Chair, Representative Edelson, yes, that is correct. The reimbursement is only for meals provided.
Representative Edelson, follow up?
Yeah, Madam Chair and Representative Jordan, this is a historic moment in the state of Minnesota. I just want to thank you for everything you've done for this bill. Food is absolutely a basic human right, and I can tell you that when I was telling my interns that are here today about this, two of the interns were like, yes! So know that so many students across the state of Minnesota will be celebrating this today. Thank you.
Members, any other questions? No? With that, members, just make sure I have the exact motion here. Oh, well, first, final words for our author who has been working for years on this bill.
No, not really, Madam Chair. Thank you. I'm having a hard time talking. I would echo what Representative Edelson said. This is an important bill, and I think this is a bill that if you care about student health outcomes, you should vote for this bill. This is a bill that addresses student physical health, mental health. It addresses who our students become as adults. We've heard testimony that what happens to children in schools matters for the rest of their lives. And making sure that students have something to eat is something that is going to impact students positively for the rest of their lives and really make sure that they can learn in schools. So thank you, members, for the discussion. I look forward to continuing to talk about how we can feed kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jordan, and thank you for all your work on this and all the advocates' works and the students' voices that you brought to the table. Any other comments on the final bill? With that, members, Representative Jordan renews her motion to move House File 5 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The House File 5 is House File 5 is moved on the way to the Ways and Means Committee as amended. Thank you. Thank you. With that, members, we have we're going to bring back up House File 44. Oh, we're going to do 180 first. Okay, sorry. Change of plans. We're going to bring up House File 180 with Representative Hansen. Good morning, Representative Hansen. Welcome to the Education Committee.
Thank you.
And I will move House File 180 before the committee for discussion with the intention of leaving it over for a possible inclusion in the education finance bill. So with that, Representative Hansen, would you like to describe House File 180 and start your testimony?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, committee members. You heard about this bill last year, so I will give you and new members another review of what this bill seeks to do. House File 180 is of great importance to School District 191 in my community. So thanks again for your time today. This bill seeks to provide District 191 a legislative exemption related to the sale of properties that are no longer being used for a number of reasons, including decreasing enrollment. Existing statutes require that the proceeds of these property sales go to capital expenditures rather than the district's general funds or program costs. And this exemption is really critical to meeting the needs of our community, including our pre-K to 12 pathway program that we are very proud of in our district, early literacy programs, and any other unexpected shifts in our enrollment or costs. Our community grieved the closure of schools. So this exemption will allow our local school board to reinvest the proceeds of this difficult choice directly back into the district, just as the families and children in our community need them to do. And with that, I will turn it over to our testifiers. This is our superintendent, Dr. Teresa Battle. She's very beloved, and I'm really glad to have her here today.
Thank you, Dr. Battle. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am Teresa Battle, superintendent of Burnsville Egan Savage District 191. And joining me today for moral support and to answer any questions the representatives may have, we have our school board chair, Scott King. So District 191 Board of Education is seeking a legislative exemption related to the sale of one or more properties which are no longer being used due to decreased enrollment. This exemption would allow any proceeds of a sale beyond what's required to pay off the building's existing debt to be transferred to the district's unassigned general fund and used for programming expenses instead of only for capital expenditures. The board has discussed potential uses for any proceeds. The primary purpose for this exemption will be for the board to be able to use the funds in a flexible way that best meets our local needs. It puts control in the local community through the school board. This will most likely mean using the funding for more than one purpose, but on programming aligned with the district's community-driven priorities. For example, as mentioned, we launched our pre-K through grade 12 pathways model, which is designed to support each student in finding their passion, exploring interests, and preparing them for success after graduation. Also, our early literacy programming, which is foundational to our core work, and we have extended our literacy framework through all of our grades. And then lastly, it allows flexibility for the district to respond to a need it may not know about at this time, such as a capital improvement due to enrollment changes. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Dr. Battle. And thank you, School Board Member Hume, for being here today. Members, do we have any questions about House File 180? Representative Kreisha.
In my last one. I was just going to be closing on it.
I'm not seeing any. So go ahead, Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Representative Hansen, for your bill, and thank you, Madam Chair. So first of all, thank you, Superintendent, and I must call out the irony of the last name of Battle in your role. So thank you, Superintendent Battle, for being here. Representative Hansen, as I look through this bill, and I've been through it forward, backwards, and I got to tell you, I see no reason why we should meddle in the affairs of your district. And in fact, I apologize that you even have to come here and ask for our permission. So I greatly support the bill, and I wish you luck.
Thank you. And Representative Hansen. Representative Hansen, final words on your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, committee members. Thank you for your kind words. I agree that this is a local issue that we should be able to handle at the local level. I'm all about putting our community first. And so thank you to our school board and our superintendent for being here, and thank you, members, for your time today.
Thank you, Representative Hansen, and thank you for all the work that you're doing down in your school district, Dr. Battle. And thank you for the support for this bill, members. So we have House File 180 is going to be laid over for possible inclusion in an education finance bill. And please spread the word that we're very nice in education finance, so you're welcome to visit anytime.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate that. You are very kind all the time, and I appreciate it.
Madam Chair, I think you're calling in to question our personalities with those comments. Let's not do that, please.
No, Representative Christian saying we're all very nice. Everybody should want to come to Ed Finance. So with that, we have out. Did you? Oh, yes, I did labor for possible inclusion in the final education finance bill. And we are waiting for our next testifier, our next bill author to come. She's here on her way. So I will put us into recess for less than 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey members, I wanted to get everybody's attention, so we're going to come back from recess a little briefly. I know we have another bill up before us, so members, I would like to move House File 44 before us again. We had discussions last week on January 18th, testimony, discussion, and now today we're bringing it back up again because we have a fiscal note and a final amendment. So we are going to do that and welcome Representative Feist to the committee again. So I bring House File 44 up before us again. And Representative Clardy, I believe that, could you please move the A7 amendment before the committee?
Yes, I'd like to move the A7 amendment.
Representative Clardy moves the A7 amendment for the committee. Representative Feist, would you like to describe the amendment a bit? We'll then move to adopt that to get the bill in the shape that you prefer, and then we'll go to you discussing the fiscal note.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair and committee. So the amendment does four separate things. First, it adds dollar amounts, and we talked about those last week in a bit of detail, kind of how we came to those amounts. And we can talk about that in more detail as well. But it adds the amounts from the fiscal note. Secondly, it adds clarifying language provided from MDE just around the formula, just to make sure it is very clear. Third, it adds some language inspired by Representative Anderson, I believe. We worked with the school associations just to provide some language to make sure that they could implement this bill in a way that makes sense for them, but within the way that the bill is structured overall. And lastly, it moves this to its own section of law because the school nurses asked that we not put it in the school nurse section, and we were happy to comply. So that is what this amendment does.
Thank you, Representative Feist. Members, are there any questions on the amendment itself? Representative Kreshaw.
Madam Chair and Representative Feist, why did they ask for it to be removed from that section of law?
Representative Feist.
Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Kreshaw. I think they just thought it would be cleaner that this didn't directly implicate school nurses, and so they just asked that it be its own thing rather than part of the section of law that deals specifically and exclusively with school nurses.
Representative Kreshaw, follow up?
Yeah, just thank you, Representative. So were the nurses concerned that when you say implicate, that this would be a liability or something on them that they didn't want to have to worry about if it didn't happen, that it could fall back on them? Was that their concern?
Representative Feist.
No.
Okay.
That was not their concern.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Kreshaw Fowler. Representative Baker.
I'm just curious, Representative Feist, which school associations did you work with on this?
Representative Feist. They all have very similar acronyms, but it was Mr. Kernquist, I believe AMSD, but they all, okay, yes, AMSD. Thank you.
And we have phone a friend. We have Valerie Dosland. What I would like to do, members, first is for us to actually adopt the amendment to get the bill in the shape the author would like it, and then we can have Ms. Dosland maybe explain where the school districts are at, and then we'll move to the fiscal note. So, members, renew Representative Clardy's motion to adopt the A7 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? A7 amendment is adopted. Now we will move on to what the school groups think. So please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Valerie Dosland. I represent the Minnesota Association of School Administrators, but I'm also here on behalf of the School Boards Association, the Association of Metropolitan School Districts, and the whole host of other alphabet organizations that haunt your doors these days. I want to thank Representative Feist for her work on the amendment. We appreciate the language change that allows us to develop a plan locally, and we are comfortable with this language.
Thank you, Ms. Dosland. Any other questions about that provision? Seeing none, Representative Feist, would you like to go ahead and describe the fiscal note?
Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. I will describe it very high level. I imagine, since this is education finance, people might have more technical questions, and for those, I will turn it over to staff. But just to reiterate what we talked about last week, when we looked at how much this would cost, we took into account the percentage of students in N-Straits, the amount of time spent in school during a school day and also during a school year. Those were the main things. We also took into account the fact that schools will have bigger purchasing power, and so they will be able to buy in bulk. And so those are the main things that were taken into account, and staff is welcome to correct me or provide any additional clarification that would be important for the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Feist. With that, I will go to member questions in case there are more detailed questions on the fiscal note. Representative Kreshaw?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Feist, for the amendment and the clarifications. Just a question on the fiscal stuff for staff. Just looking at the assumptions and thinking now that we have some numbers in front of us. So if I look at a school district in 2024, and then there's that aid, are we assuming that we're replenishing the stock every year? In other words, if a school district buys it and 60% of the inventory is used and they have 40%, does that get a carryover, or do they have to buy for the entire student population each year?
Representative,
and I don't know who would have the answer to that.
Representative Feist, you want to tackle it first?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I will tackle it to my understanding, and then staff can correct me. So my understanding that this is an annual appropriation based on the anticipated cost that it will take to comply with this new bill. And so the expectation is that they shouldn't have a huge surplus at the end of the year. If they do, they would have funds to purchase for the next year, but it wouldn't like hold over. They wouldn't have to like do an inventory and say, okay, we only need to spend 70% next year. Basically, we just want to make sure that they have adequate, consistent funding to cover these purchases each year, the way they do for all the other purchases that they need to make each school year.
Representative Kusha.
So let me just throw this as my concern as I see the numbers, and as you understand it, thank you, Representative Feist, thank you, Chair. So if I understand this correctly, and I would just be seeking this out, so if a school district has an appropriation of, I'll take one here, $83,000, that's just a big number I see, or I'll say, I'll just use fictitious numbers. Let's say a school district has an appropriation of $20,000 and they buy the products, and they come into the end of that school year and determine, hey, we have enough products to get through next year, but they're still going to get the appropriation. There's nothing that prevents them from moving those dollars back into the operating or the general fund to use for other expenses. And if that's correct, and I'm not looking for an answer here, I'm just bringing this up, if that's correct, what guardrails are in place so some school district doesn't maybe get a little bit lean on getting the products out there? I just want to make sure we do this right. And so I would just throw that up for consideration, and I don't really need an answer. Just that's one thing that I'm working through now. Thank you, Representative Feist.
Actually we have Mr. Strom. Would you like to add something?
Madam Chair, Representatives Feist and Kresha. The one thing to point out is operating capital is where this money goes, and that's a reserve account. So from a school district accounting perspective, that stays in the reserve for operating capital. So it doesn't go to undesignated general fund, but instead it stays in the reserve. So for all of the things that are on the list in operating capital, but the school's got to provide the product. If there were money left over each year, that doesn't go to the undesignated general fund. It stays in operating capital for the long list of things that operating capital can be spent on.
Representative Kresha.
Okay, so thank you, Mr. Strom, as always. So here's the thing. This is the actual part that I really agree with, because I just soon get rid of all the categoricals and the compensatory. And this is, so what you're telling me is if there are an excess of funds, those could be used for other things in that operating. So the bill we have here funds this initiative, but if there's excess dollars, those can be used for other things.
Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, Representative Kresha, yes, as long as they meet that long list, which is actually reprinted in the bill, of the operating capital uses, because the reserve applies to the full operating reserve or operating capital account, which is a reserve account in each district's general fund.
Representative Kresha.
Final thing, and Representative, thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Feist, if you took an amendment to get rid of the compensatory on the categoricals, I'd get you 62 votes. But thank you for your, I don't need anything else. If you have to make a comment, that's fine, but just a joke.
Representative Feist.
I don't know if I understand. But that's maybe not for the committee. So
we can talk about
that. But I'm pretty comfortable with the language as it is, but I'm happy to have a conversation.
Thank you, Representative. Mr. Strom, just for those people watching this scintillating conversation at home, can you give us some examples? Like in my head, I'm thinking operating capital can be for like more toilet paper, more tech. I don't know if that includes like tech supplies. Like, could you just pick like three or five just so folks maybe understand what operating capital is?
Madam Chair, members, when the legislature creates reserve accounts, and for operating capital, if you look on page two of the, page three of the bill, the uses start on line 3.2. So all of the things that are listed there are things that a district can spend its operating capital money on. Toilet paper is actually a supply, and a consumable supply is what it's described as. So most districts use their undesignated general fund for that purpose. but all of the things that are on the list here. So you can look down. I think there's 20 some things listed starting on the top of page 3, and you can see all of the things that you can use operating capital for.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. I kind of, somebody described it to me once as if you took the roof off the school and dumped it upside down, everything that came out was operating capital. Mr. Strom, is that pretty
Madam
accurate?
Madam Chair, I think that's right, except for the consumable supplies. So the copy machine that fell out, the textbooks that fell out, all of those would be operating capital. But the paper towels and toilet paper would actually be in this other category, which is supplies.
Thank you, Mr. Strom, and thank you for the help from nonpartisan staff in making this money as flexible as possible, but still directed. It's that fine line we always walk here. Representative Bateberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This question is for Mr. Strom. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Strom, if we would flip a school upside down, the principal would fall out of the building, as well as the rest of the educators in the building. But just to clarify, can I use this, or could an administrative team decide that they're going to use this for staffing purposes to hire additional mental health staff, paraprofessionals, teachers? Could I use that, this leftover funds for that? Thank you.
Mr. Strong.
Madam Chair, Representative Bakeford, generally staff costs don't count, but there are a couple of places where they do. So if you look, for example, on line 4.21, you'll see that personnel costs associated with equipment and that kind of thing, those personnel costs are covered. But generally speaking, personnel costs are excluded from this reserve, so you couldn't use that excess for things like teachers or mental health needs of students.
Thank you. Representative Bakeberg, hello?
Nope.
Great. Right. Members, any other comments or questions before we give the author their final word? Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Feist, for bringing this bill up. Just because of scheduling of other bills running around, I haven't had a chance to comment on this bill, but I've heard a lot from students in my district that, and I don't hear a lot from students in my, I mean, I do, but not on specific bills, but this is one that I've heard a lot from students, and it has really made me think back to when I was a student and how embarrassed I was when I would have to ask my teachers for a pad or a tampon. And I really think what you're doing here is really important and is really putting our students first. So I really want to thank you for all your work. I also really appreciate the way you've talked about this and you're meeting the students where they're at. So thank you for your leadership on this. We're really lucky to have you.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Representative Anderson.
Thank you. And I want to also thank the author for some of the clarification and some little more local control. But I have one other question. Because I think that this was something we had all discussed too in your author's amendment. So it says the products must be available to all menstruating students. And I think there was some discussion earlier about boys' bathrooms. And assuming that there is boys, okay, biological males do not menstruate, and assuming there are not trans boys or whatever, girls, boys, whatever, that are using the men's bathroom, that are girls that menstruate, then would that allow a school district, at least in the, especially in the elementary age, to not have to put these products into the boys' bathroom?
Representative Feist. This bill requires that schools provide free period products in all student bathrooms, grades 4 through 12.
It says,
Representative Anderson?
It says, thank you, Madam Chair, it says menstruating students.
It says all.
Representative Feist?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It says in restrooms regularly used by students in grades 4 through 12, to 12.
Representative Feist, do you want to point to the line?
Maybe? Yeah, absolutely, sorry. Line 1.6.
On the underlying bill?
Oh, forgive me. I have the amendment in front of me.
Yes. On the A7 amendment on lines 1.6?
Line 1.22.
Representative Anderson, yeah. Follow-up question.
Madam Chair, I guess that's what the clarification I'm looking for, because boys would not girls would not be allowed to go into a boy's bathroom if they identify as a girl. They're menstruating. So there'd be no reason for them to be in a boy's bathroom.
Representative Feist. Trans boys menstruate, and they use boys' bathrooms and would need these products. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. But that's my question. If there are no trans boys in a elementary school, in that particular elementary school, then there'd be no need. The school district would be able to not to make the decision to not put tampons into an elementary school boys' bathroom. Is that correct under this language, or would they still be required to put tampons into an elementary school boys' bathroom, every elementary school boys' bathroom?
Representative Feist. Thank you, Madam Chair. In order to ensure that all menstruating students have full access to period products, it is important that we include them in all bathrooms where trans students who menstruate may need to access them. And that is how this bill is structured. It was structured that way because students reached out to me and helped me to structure this bill. And it's incredibly important. I've received a lot of emails over the past week from parents of trans students, from teachers of trans students, from librarians of trans students, from custodians in schools that have trans students. And they all think that it is incredibly important to structure the bill the way we did. And that is why I did it that way.
Thank you.
Representative Anderson, did you have a follow-up?
I do.
Just reminders to go through the chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry about that. I just wanted, if there are no trans students in a particular elementary school, would the school still be required to do this?
Representative Feist, I think she's looking at the A7 amendment and maybe go over again the flexibility that districts have to make these decisions.
Correct. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson, it's to Representative Feist. Yeah, so I worked with the school associations to make sure that they had the flexibility that they felt that they need in order to implement this in a way that is workable for all schools, and that is the language before you. Thank you, Representative Feist. Representative Anderson, follow up?
No.
Thank you. Members, Representative Edelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm trying to compose myself the fact that we need like a gender audit when our students use the bathroom. I am so glad to support this bill. It's really nice to see the runs on where each district will be getting the funds for this. And I'm glad that you're putting them in boys' bathrooms because we shouldn't have to have a student identify with what gender they were born with when they have to use an essential thing like the bathroom. We shouldn't. And I'm glad that we're having this discussion today. I would say in our district, we have students that fundraise for these products. Not every district can fundraise for them to have them have access to these products in the washrooms that they go to. So I think that this is incredibly equitable for our state. And so as I look at these runs, whether it's in Bagley, Cook County, Windham, to Edina, I just thank you for all of the work that you've done to negotiate with all of the stakeholders. So thank you. I'm proud to support the bill.
Thank you, Representative Edelson. Representative Grisham, I know you wanted to wrap up, but let me see if there's anybody else that needs. Not seeing any. Representative Grisham.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Feist and Representative Anderson and Edelson. So first of all, you know, I'm just going to step us back for a second. We talked about school programs. And Representative Feist, you know, I did talk about biological dignity. And I think that is not the question. And I understand the passion and the emotion that can come out of this, and I recognize that and appreciate the advocacy. And I think we all do. I think the question that Representative Anderson, and I think it's an important question because this backs up a little bit to Representative Bakeberg and my concerns, or at least let me give you a tangible example. I have one school district in mind that will have under 800 kids. Even smaller than that. The populations of that may be such that they don't have a student, a trans student in the elementary, or maybe they just have one. And so we have a scenario where that school, which has to make decisions about dollars, could be overbuying products or underbuying. Either way, they're going to be left with a balance. And what we've already heard, and this is what I'm trying to understand, is if that balance is a surplus, that school can't use those for teacher pay or additional raises and that. And we are sending money that is being, you know, if we just gave districts the money and said, hey, please make sure this is not an issue, and we've already identified locally they will, but what we're doing is we're handcuffing them on how the special reserve accounts and where they go. It's not that there's disagreement, at least from talking to the folks that have come through mine or even members, there's not disagreement about biological dignity. There's disagreement that worst case scenario, a school district could be in a situation that says, I don't have any students that this affects, so therefore I'm not going to buy enough inventory, or I'm going to back off of my inventory and have excess funds that I can use. In other words, these school districts are trying to maximize dollars. You're trying to provide biological dignity. School districts are trying to maximize dollars, and in between there can be decisions that may not be efficient. That's the concern, because we're doing a program and a funding program. So just trying to bring this all together, and certainly, you know, don't want you to feel like you're in the hot seat, Representative Feist, because you're not. But getting the dollars right is important, because the school groups, as Ms. Doslin came up, and thank you for that, the school groups will come back and say, there's a problem here, there's a wrinkle, we have to fix it now. We're trying to look at those funding wrinkles now. So that's what I would offer up.
Thank you, Representative Feist.
Yes. So the reason this is funded is because I do not want schools to have to choose between tampons and mental health professionals in making sure that class sizes are appropriate, in investing in all of the ways that schools need to invest in students. So that is why this is funded and not unfunded. It is important that, in particular, that trans students feel supported. And I find it hard to believe that there's a school district in Minnesota that does not have any trans kids. And I have received so many emails from folks, from trans kids, from parents and teachers, custodians, that say that this is an important step, not just for the, like, literal need to address purity poverty in our schools, but also as a message that menstruating is normal. There should be no stigma attached to it. We should feel comfortable with that. And also that, like, trans kids menstruate, and we want them to have access to these products, too. And then, you know, as Mr. Strom explained, if they find they don't need that many products as they purchase the first year, they can adjust that. And the operating capital revenue has a very long list of ways that schools can use those funds to invest in school operations.
Representative Kusha-Bella. Seeing none, and I just want to make sure that people are looking at lines. Now I lost it myself. 1.6 to 1.7, where Representative Feist worked with the school districts to have the language in there that says a plan developed by the school district for the purpose of this section for this. So there's that flexibility. Representative Jordan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I request a roll call.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. Roll call has been requested. Members, are there any other comments or questions before we move to the vote? Representative Sensenbrenner?
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to talk a little bit about the scenario that Representative Kreshaw was talking about. So, you know, if I'm looking at this correctly, and you're, Representative Kreshaw, you're speaking to, you know, how would this affect real districts? Like, how would this affect a district with 800 students? So if I'm looking at the spreadsheet, you know, I'm seeing maybe a district like Barnum, which I'm seeing has 754 students. And through this bill, we'll be getting about $1,500 to support them with buying menstrual products. You know, and I think about, I understand, like, schools are scrappy, right? Schools are trying to save every single dollar. And so, you know, is this money that, you know, maybe let's say you don't put menstrual products in a boy's bathroom because you don't believe there are any trans boys at your school, you know, and then maybe you save $200, right? And that $200 is valuable to schools. I'm not saying it's not. Maybe that could buy you, I don't know, a pencil for three pencils for every student in the school. Maybe that could buy you some additional copy paper, you know. But what that could also buy you is the safety for that trans student, right? We know that not every trans student wants to be out to everyone in the school. Maybe they're not out to the administration that might be making this decision about where menstrual products are placed. but the safety that they have to go to a bathroom, to know that their biological dignity is upheld, I absolutely think that that is worth the $200 that we might be able to save if we didn't pass this law. So that's why I urge everyone to support it today.
Thank you, Representative Spencer Mara. And I'll just say, in committee two, if a member's mentioned, we bump back to them. So Representative Krusha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members, I'll just throw this out. Representative Feist, we're a finance committee. Representative Jordan, I understand you have a roll call on. I would ask that if you want to remove that roll call, that'd be great. I don't think the conversation here was turning against any student. We're a finance committee. If you want to keep the roll call on, that's fine. I think it changes the tenor of this. I will absolutely vote no on this if I'm in a roll call, because I believe on the school funding side of this, we're putting people in a position where they're ordering inventory products, and when you order products, you have to make financial decisions. I believe where you came a long way with the local option is great, and I think we're helping schools. I'd like to help us get there more fully, but I can't discount the fact that administrators at the end of the year have to make a decision about buying products. It's not about any student. It's not about those conversations with trans students. It's not about biological dignity. We are a finance committee putting a school program in place for a lot of schools that have to manage that. So I will recommend a no vote on that if that's where we are. If Representative Jordan would like to remove the roll call, I think the tenor would be better for the committee, but that's up to you. We're not trying to make this something it isn't. So those are my comments.
Representative Jordan.
Madam Chair, I will remove the roll call, but if we're going to talk about the tenor of this committee, making sure that we're respecting the dignity of all students is going to be really important. And I think we can raise the bar. I think we can all learn more and do our best to raise the bar on that tenor. And so I think we should all think about that. And I really hope members, especially on bills like this, remember what it was like to be a student. I remember what it was like to get my period at school when I was not expecting it, and when I was the only kid in my grade that had it. And that was really embarrassing. I can't imagine also being a trans student and also having to go through all of that, and then to have the adults whose job it is to make the decisions talk about this in a way that could be potentially harmful if we're not careful about it. So words do matter, and I will remove the roll call. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Jordan. With that, members, I think we'll give the author final comments before we move to the vote.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So they say budgets are obviously a financial decision. They're also a moral decision. Mm-hmm. On the financial side, this bill addresses period poverty, which causes many students to miss school on a regular basis. That chronic absenteeism is a drag on school operations, and it requires them to invest additional resources in those students. That takes away from their ability to invest in all students. So this is financially sound. Second, like I said, the budget is a moral document. Through this, we are supporting all students who require period products. That includes female students, us females who menstruate. It can be uncomfortable, and we face our own stigma. It is also supporting trans students who menstruate. And I'm really proud of this bill, and I hope you can all support it.
Thank you, Representative Weiss. Representative Feist, with that, members, we are going to move to the vote. All those in favor of, with that, Vice Chair Clardy renews her motion that House File 44 as amended be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
The A44 bill is on its way as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. Members, we usually don't have this happen in committee that we actually are ending early. So think of that as a little gift for all the hard work we've been putting in. Tomorrow, we were going to be back here, same place, same time, to hear from the from MDE about the governor's budget. And with that, we are adjourned.